The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
The foundation of all of society is the home. That family unit really does serve as that basic building block upon which all of human society and culture is built. That's where everything begins. That's where all human relationships have their start. That's where human population even begins, if you want to think of it in those terms as well. The home, then, is of utmost importance. And when we examine the situations that we see in our world today, culturally speaking, and examine the kinds of problems that we see often in our society, we can trace these problems back, or many of them anyway, to the fact that homes are falling apart. Homes are not often what they ought to be. And the more and more problems we see in families, the more and more problems we're going to see in society. Because of all of that, it is of utmost importance that we do everything we can to build up the family, to make it stronger. Now, there's lots of ways we can attempt to do that. There are a lot of self-help authors out there who have written books about these subjects, and many of them have some good ideas. But if we want the very best advice on how to make the home what it ought to be, we need to go to the one who originated it, and that's God Himself. All the way back with the creation of the first human beings, Adam and Eve, God instituted the marriage relationship, and that formed the first family. Now, the plans and the regulations and the laws that God set in place then are the kinds of things that we need to emphasize and that we need to submit to if we're going to have strong family relationships. Now, I think the devil understands that very well. And I think that he is very much intent on doing whatever he can to destroy man in whatever way he can. And I believe he understands that if he can attack and weaken and ultimately destroy the family, then he will be very successful in destroying man eternally. And so because of that, there are many dangers that are facing the home today. There are many threats in the world, and we need to have a clear understanding of what these dangers are and how the Lord would have us to address them. As we think about the importance of the home, and as we think about the reality of the attacks that the devil makes against it, let's think about these dangers that face the home today, and as we look at the Word of God to see how those dangers can be seen in light of what the Word of God says. What I'd like for us to do is to examine these dangers that face the home in just two basic groupings. Number one, the dangers from without. That is, the threats and the dangers that arise from outside of the family that pose great problems for the home today. As we think, first of all, about these dangers from without, and then later talk about dangers from within, where we examine the things that arise on the parts of those within families that serve as prove to be a threat and a danger to that family. But first of all, thinking about those dangers that arise from outside the family. There are many. Let's talk about just a few of them today. One very important danger for us to consider is our society's preoccupation with sex. We live in a world today that's just saturated with thinking about sex. We see that it is at the basis of so much of the entertainment that's put out there in movies and television and so forth. We see that it is at the basis of so much advertising that's done. We see all kinds of emphasis today being placed upon sex. And I believe it has a very detrimental effect on our families. Think about some of the ways that sexuality has an impact on families. I guess the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that there are many, many people in our society today who do not consider their vows that they take in marriage to be serious enough to stay true to their spouses, sexually speaking. Studies reveal that many people, both men and women, engage in sexual relationships with people other than their husband or wife. One study revealed that 45 to 55% of women and 50 to 60% of men will have at least one extramarital sexual relationship. Half of all people, in other words. Now, there is nothing more damaging to a marriage relationship than sexual unfaithfulness. That relationship that is to be reserved only for the husband and wife is so unique, but also so powerful, that when that trust and that relationship is broken by one partner or the other going out and seeking someone else to share that with, that it does something to the relationship between those two people that often can never be repaired. So many people are involved in these types of relationships that much damage is done to the home. But what we see is that an attitude has developed in our society today that sees these types of things as glamorous. So many movies have been developed and television scripts have been written that center on the idea of someone going out and finding a person other than their spouse and engaging in sexual relationships with them. And this is portrayed as something romantic, something exciting, something glamorous, and so on. Well, it's no wonder when we have been entertained by these types of thoughts for so long that people have begun to believe those types of ideas and want to engage in that type of lifestyle themselves. As I was doing some research a while back on these types of issues, looking on the internet for some statistics and reports of these types of things, I came across an ad on the internet for a service that advertised itself this way: discreet cheating, a phone call away. Well, that's what many people apparently are looking for. This idea that there is something appealing, something attractive, that is especially the idea of the forbidden that makes it so much more appealing, it has entrapped many people and ruined many marriages. But it's not just sexuality among married people outside of their marriage. Sexuality affects people even before they marry. Young people, teenagers, are becoming sexually active earlier and earlier in their lives. One study that I found reported that 45 to 46% of boys and girls aged 15 to 19 have already become sexually active. And so by the time they are in their middle teens, nearly half of our boys and girls are already sexually active. Now, what kind of an impact does that have on marriage? God designed marriage, or rather God designed the sexual relationship, to be a special bond between the husband and the wife and no one else. Think about what happens to people's thinking when they turn sex into a casual relationship to be shared between friends, to be shared between people that they are merely infatuated with. It's turned into nothing but a physical satisfaction of a drive that they have. There is no commitment involved. There is no union involved. This destroys the foundation of marriages. But when we go back to the very beginning, we see that God said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Genesis 2:24. This idea of becoming one flesh involves that sexual relationship. Other things are involved in that too, but it especially involves that sexual relationship, and it binds the husband and wife together in a union that is unlike any other human relationship. That bond, that physical relationship, is to be reserved for marriage because it has everything to do with that close, even spiritual union between the husband and the wife. Because of that, the sexual relationship is to be had in purity within marriage only. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Within marriage, sex is pure. It is undefiled. And we're to maintain our sexuality in that way within marriage, because all other sexual relationships can be defined and described as fornication and adultery. That falls under the judgment of God. And so this inordinate emphasis on sexuality in our society is a great danger to our homes. And when we add into that the kind of emphasis that we see and the kind of free access that we see, easy access that is, that we see on the internet to pornography, and those kinds of things, there is so much danger present that our homes are threatened by those kinds of things. Another danger that arises from outside of the family, materialism. By materialism, I simply mean an emphasis on money and things, possessions and wealth. Again, our society has been greatly influenced by this type of thinking. The ideas that success is measured in dollars and cents. The idea that status is determined by what you have. The finest of all things. The most expensive, the biggest, the shiniest, the newest. This type of mentality has a dangerous effect on families. Because we have been trained with this keeping up with the Joneses mentality. And so many people think that if their neighbor has a new car, well then my car, even though it's perfectly fine, begins to look less appealing. And I feel like I'm falling behind them in the status department, and so I need to go out and buy a new car. Well, this type of mindset, this type of thinking causes us to get into many problems. A report from the Federal Reserve a few years ago said that over 40% of Americans spend more than what they earn. Now, how is that a problem for families? One of the biggest causes of marital problems is money problems. When families spend more than they earn, that causes great stress in the marriage relationship. And whether it's the wife who spends more than she needs to spend, or the husband who spends more than he needs to spend, or whether it's just arguing over how much either one ought to spend, financial problems are one of the largest, or rather one of the leading causes of divorce. We don't need those kinds of problems in our families when we have this idea and we've bought into this notion that we have to have more and more and more. And we have to keep up with everybody else. In fact, financial stress has been reported as the number one cause of divorce. Our priorities need to be guided by the Word of God. And Jesus told us over in Matthew chapter 6 in His Sermon on the Mount that material things are not the most important thing for us to be concerned about. In fact, He told us there not to worry about things like our food and clothing and shelter and so on. But rather He told us that we should order our priorities according to a spiritual mindset, not a physical one, not a material one. You see, Jesus warned us there that we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6, verse 24. He said, you'll love the one and hate the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. We cannot serve both God and mammon. It's one or the other. And if we are seeking to serve material possessions, then we're going to get all concerned about the physical things of life. We're going to fall into this trap of worrying about food and clothing and shelter and money and possessions and all of these kinds of things. And all this does is to take our minds off of spiritual things, to take our minds off of what we ought to be focusing on, and focusing on those things that really do not last. It causes problems, it causes stress, it causes arguments. And all of these things are very damaging to family relationships. Another danger for families that arises from without: drugs and alcohol. Oh, what a great problem these things bring, or rather have brought, into our society. And these problems are even greater when these things come into the home, into the family. We all know the kinds of problems that the use and abuse of drugs and alcohol cause when we just look at society in general. But what kinds of problems do they cause in the home? How many children have been beaten and abused because the father was drunk or high? How many families have been harmed financially because the mother is spending all the money that she can to buy drugs to feed her habit? How many problems arise when children are stealing from parents or grandparents because they want to go out and get alcohol or get drugs? So many problems can arise when chemical substances are used and abused, and families often suffer. Children often go without needed food and clothing because the money that should have been spent to provide for them has been used to pay for the habits of whoever it is in the family that's hooked on those things. These kinds of substances always bring problems. And these kinds of habits are a terrible problem in our society in general, and a terrible problem within our families. What about another problem that arises from outside the family? What about things like anti-Christian philosophies? How much damage does atheism do to our families, to our homes? Somebody might say, well, you know, if a person is of a mind to think for himself, and that's what they like to tell us that they're doing, we're just thinking for ourselves. Nobody's going to tell us how to think and so on. And so they think that they're being somehow above everyone else. They're not being confused and misled by what they consider to be a false philosophy of believing in God and so on. But what kind of problems can that cause? Well, when you take out the idea of God, you're taking out the standard of morality. And what holds the family together, a commitment and an idea of faithfulness and an idea of truthfulness and an idea of staying true to those things that God has designed for the family's good, when you take all of that out of the equation, then what is there to prevent a man, if he sees another woman that he's attracted to more than his wife, from leaving his wife and going to be with her? What is there to prevent someone from violating any of the moral principles that undergird the family. What about philosophies like moral relativism? All moral relativism is a fancy term that says you can believe whatever you want to believe and it's right for you. Morality is relative to your circumstances in life. It's relative to what you think and to what you want. This idea is rampant in our world today. It's brought about a view called pluralism that says basically everybody's view of truth is right. These kinds of things are damaging to our families because they destroy the foundation upon which the family is built. These philosophies ruin God's design for the home. They take away that notion of permanence. God intended for families, for marriages, to be permanent relationships. When He said that these two shall become one flesh, He's describing a permanent relationship. That's why Jesus, when He quoted that passage over in Matthew 19, verse 6, said, "What God has joined together, let no one put asunder." These kinds of foundations are destroyed by these philosophies that say there is no standard. We take away the standard of sexual faithfulness within a family. When we take away the standard of morality, all of these dangers arise to the family from outside. Now, we're just about out of time, and we don't really have time to discuss in great detail some of the dangers arising to the home from within the family. But very quickly, let me just touch on them in the few minutes we have left. One danger that arises from within the family is a neglect of the God-given roles and responsibilities within the home. When we study passages like Ephesians chapter 5, we see that God gave specific roles to husbands and wives. The husband was to be the head of the family. I know a lot of people don't like that idea today, but God is not describing a situation where the husband is to be the tyrant. He's to be the dictator in the family. No, he's to be the loving leader in that family who is ultimately responsible to God for what decisions are made in that family. And if he loves his wife as Christ loved the church, then he will be the very best husband that anybody could imagine, because he's willing to give himself, to sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed for the good of his wife. The wife is told to be submissive to her husband. She's to understand that this is the role, this leadership role, is what God has given to the husband. If she tries to take that from him, it's going to cause problems. God wants her to recognize the roles that He has established. And when she does, and when he recognizes his role and both fulfill them lovingly and submissively to God's authority, then that family is going to be on much better footing. When parents understand their responsibility and take it seriously to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they understand the need to teach their children, to instill within them the principles of righteousness and faithfulness and morality, and thus to develop within those children a sense of discipline. And those children grow up with a healthy teaching of what's right and wrong, a healthy understanding and respect for authority that comes from their parents. Those children then will go on to become better members of society. But those children need to realize their responsibility is to subject themselves to their parents, to respect that authority that God has given to their parents, to obey them, and to submit to that authority. These kinds of things are what God has designed for the family, and when we disregard them, when we rebel against them, then problems are going to arise. Selfishness is another problem that arises within families. When people put themselves first, there's no way that that family can be what it ought to be. Because true family relationships, that is, the best family relationships, are selfless relationships. It's when I put the needs of my family before my own desires. That's when I'm going to be the best husband and the best father that I can be. When my wife puts the needs of the family before her own desires, then that's when she's going to be the best wife and mother that she can be. Selfishness always causes problems. And yet, we're living in a society today that builds up that idea of selfishness. It's only going to destroy family relationships. A lack of commitment is one more problem that arises from within families. Too many people look at marriage as a temporary relationship. If it lasts for a lifetime, fine, but if it doesn't, that's okay too. But you see, the only way a marriage can last a lifetime is if there is a true commitment there. When the husband is committed to his wife, no matter what happens, those vows that we take traditionally when we marry are serious. And I believe they're biblical. When we say for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Those are things we need to take seriously, and it requires a commitment on the part of every person who enters into that relationship. If a husband is truly committed to his wife no matter what, and she's truly committed to him no matter what, then a lot of these problems we've talked about are not going to have a chance to get a foothold in that family. Commitment needs to be there, though, also on the part of the parents toward the children and the children toward the parents. You see, this commitment means that I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that this family is what it ought to be. When we look at the alarming rates of divorce in our world today, in our nation today, we see where the problem lies, and that is with this lack of commitment. It's another one of those problems that arises from within the family. Now, what we've looked at today has been some dangers that threaten the home. Some of these dangers come from outside the home. We've talked about those at length. Some of the dangers that threaten the home come from within, and we need to look at ourselves and see whether we are allowing these dangers a place in our hearts and in our lives and thus in our families. The family is all too important for us to ignore these problems. Let's turn to God's Word and let's follow it that we might guard our homes, that they might be what they ought to be.